Red Business with Jonathan Healy.
Hi there, thanks very much for joining us. We're going to talk about green initiatives that businesses can undertake. I was very, very lucky to be at an event for the Cork Business Association recently, which I learned loads. But before that, we're getting closer to Easter, which means my mind most certainly has turned towards chocolate. And our next guest will tell us about his business, which is a fantastic chocolate shop in Ballincollig called Lusso's. Ian Kerrigan, how are you?
I'm very good, Jonathan. Thank you very much for having us on.
I'm delighted to have you on because chocolate is one of my favourite things in the world. How did you set about Lusso's?
So Lusso was actually started by my wife and partner, Carol. She started it as a part-time job, you could say. She was doing catering and cakes while she was chefing full-time. And it kind of took legs from there. And her very kind parents set up and built an extension at the side of their house to set up a commercial kitchen for. And it kind of started from there and grew legs. And then when I joined then as well, we moved out to a 1,000 square foot unit here in Ballincollig, which thankfully is still going strong to this day.
Okay, so obviously the passion came from her. What did you bring to the party, just out of curiosity?
My background was kitchens, but also bar restaurants. I'd be more the logistics side of it rather than the quality. My wife is the pastry chef, and she would be the driving force behind the quality side of it and the product selection, where I'd be everything else from accounts to the logistics to everything and anything. And I'm also a chef as well, so she's taught me a few tricks over the years as well.
Okay, so in other words, I'm going to say that, you know, she's the brains behind the chocolate, you're the brains behind certain elements of the business, but she's the boss. That's what I'm taking from this, yeah?
Well, look, I am married to her, so she's the boss in both sides at home and here.
And well done, Ian, you passed the test famously there. Now, the big thing about Lusso is that it's all handmade, isn't it? There's no mass-produced stuff.
Yes, everything we do, because we have the chocolate side of the business, and we also wholesale to cafes and restaurants, and we do cakes for private customers and events and everything else as well. And everything from the chocolate to the cakes to the small bites that we do, everything we do is small batches using finest quality ingredients here in Ballincollig.
So we don't have cocoa plants growing out there towards ovens. So you have to choose your chocolate carefully. So where do you get it from?
Yes, we're using a very good quality, one of the finest quality Belgian chocolates. And to be fair, it's very good quality. It's great for what we need, and it's used in all of our products. And unfortunately, we can't get that in Ireland. But everything else where we do, we source it through a local Irish company. We also get all our packaging and a lot of our other ingredients. We go local where possible.
So it's this busy time for you, Easter, because the Easter egg, which the bunny leaves at various positions around the house. Is this a very stressful time in your kitchen?
Oh, look, it's a very busy time. But it can be stressful at times, there's a sense of enjoyment about it as well, because you could be having a busy day. We could have Easter eggs and bunnies and cakes everywhere. And then we have a small shop set up at the front of our unit here, and a small kid comes in and you give him a bit of chocolate, and the smile on his face would take a lot of the stress away straight away.
Obviously, then you hope he buys some chocolate. I mean, that otherwise it would be a wasted journey. But at the same time, this is the busiest time of the year in terms of getting content out there, because people want chocolate. And like everything else, I mean, okay, the shop-bought eggs are great, but you do want something a little bit different, don't you?
Of course, and like a lot of people used to say to us before, you know, I can buy an egg for a couple of euros over the road in a supermarket, but that's not what we're offering. What we offer is, number one, a very good quality chocolate, but number two, everything is handmade and we personalize everything. So one of the niches that works for us, and we have people coming back to us since we started doing the chocolate over 10 years ago, would be down to the personalization, having your name on it, having a message on it. It's beautifully presented, and it's really is a case of quality over quantity for what we'd be supplying. Mm.
And like when you're pushing it out, is it all kind of dark chocolate eggs, or have you got milk and have you got white? Is there a mix that you have?
The majority or most popular is milk. So milk would be the majority of what we supply. And then we also do dairy, we also do white, and we also do different coloured eggs. Like we have one egg called the Egg Explosion, which would be a multicoloured of different cocoa butters to colour the shell. Mm. And then we do it in yellow chocolate. We can colour a bit of white chocolate to do a couple of nice colours. And it could be yellow, it could be pink, it could be orange. We could have a bit of every colour going on.
Ian, you married Willy Wonka. I mean, it's just after dawning on me. You landed well on your feet, lad.
I didn't do too badly.
But I mean, does that kind of, you know, most people go to their job and they sit down and they do their work and they go home and then they kind of repeat the process. I mean, it sounds like a bit more crack in your kitchen.
Yeah, we always felt from day one, because we, like, over between the two of us, we've over 50 years experience in catering and in kitchens and in bars and restaurants. And we've seen every form of stressful environment you can come across. And it's not what we want in our place. So when you come in to us at a busy time, the kettle is boiled, there's all the samples going around, there's a bit of crack and a bit of left, and we just feel no matter how much we produce on a day, you can get through more if you have a bit of crack and a bit of fun.
I'd imagine you can. And when people call into the store, I presume it's that wide-eyed wonderment that has them buying as much as they can carry. How can people find you guys? Are you online as well as having the retail presence?
We are. On our website, lusocork.ie, we have an online shop now for the last couple of years, and it's doing very well, thank God. And you can see the majority of the range of products there. But also, when you call into the shop, there's always a couple of extra products that we might have on the shelves that we just decide to make in package on the day. That might be a bit different from what's online, but 90% of our range is online as well.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here now and I'm getting hungry, which is a very bad thing to do to me at this hour of the day. It's been an absolute pleasure. Good luck to yourself and your good lady wife, Ian Kerrigan of Lusos. Thank you for joining us. Lusocork.ie is the website. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Now, I was lucky enough recently to chair an event for the CBA, the Cork Business Association, and it was all about climate neutrality. And I have to say, I didn't know too much about what was happening on the ground until I went there. But boy, are their businesses doing incredible things. Clara O'Neill is the chair of the CBA Cork City Committee, and she is also the owner of Total Planning Solutions. How are you doing, Clara?
Hi, Jonathan. Good, thanks. How are you?
We'll hear a little bit from one of those businesses in just a minute, but there are so many things happening right now, and it's all empowered by the consumer, the end user, when it comes to making businesses greener.
Well, yeah, I suppose the City Council can only do so much by way of putting in the high-level objectives and aims and, I suppose, some incentives to help businesses along the way, but it really is behavioural change that is needed at an individual business level if we are to seriously achieve net carbon zero by 2030.
There are three types of businesses that I can identify. There's the ones who are doing nothing. They're the ones who are kind of tinkering and seeing what they might get away with. And then the ones who've gone all in. And we heard from the ones who went all in and how happy they were with the outcome.
Yeah, sure. You're right. I suppose some people have been just trying to keep their head above water anyway. So you know, the idea of going all in might be a bit scary to some people. And that's why we had, you know, I guess a lot of the larger businesses have higher corporate entities telling them that they need to go greener and all of that. And Cork City has 90% independent businesses in place. So, you know, it's very hard for them sometimes to even keep the doors open. So I think it is really interesting to see the likes of Jura and Kevin, who you'll be talking to later, who are an independent business and who have done so much to kind of achieve more sustainability and how it's actually paying off for them. So I think that was the key success of the event was actually how a lot of the people in the room realize that it can help to make them money as well. So it's not just a money pit of, or that you're not just doing something because it's the right thing to do, but it actually ends up saving you money in the long run. And yeah, that actually, I suppose, was the key takeaway.
Yeah, and it's not just putting a solar panel on your roof as well. There's loads of other things you can do with regard to heating, with hot water. And I suppose just changing mindset that can result in big savings, because we saw what happened with the energy crisis last year. It can hit you fast.
Oh yeah, of course. And you're right. It's not just about big kind of infrastructural projects or projects that might require planning or a huge investment. It is things like even they had a suite of measures for dealing with waste or how they did recalibrated their portion sizes, what where their ingredients come from even. So like if it's that all that 90% of their ingredients comes from the city itself or within a 30 km radius of the city, and that is having a big impact as well, so I do think that there's things that we all learned that day that I didn't know about even that you can do easily to and very cost effectively.
How do you go about starting though? Because again, going back to the individual who's done nothing, I mean, how do you get them motivated? How do you get them on this journey to sustainability?
That's a really interesting point, and it's something that after the event we're like, well, are we going to just let it fall off a cliff now? How do we actually encourage some action? And so we got in contact with Cork City Council, and they actually have arranged to have this auditor from the LEO, it's in support of the LEO, to come into the CBA offices and do sessions with people. So essentially the first step, as you asked, is an audit, a sustainability audit. Someone goes to your premises, walks around, sees what type of heating, what type of lighting, what type of structure you have, what waste facilities you have, how much food you gen your how much food waste you're generating, how much water you're using, and they'll actually do a suite of recommendations for you free of charge through the LEO. So we'll have something on our newsletter about that soon as to when that auditor will be available, and the CBA will facilitate it in their offices. So we'll let everyone know about that. And I
Okay.
think that is a good first step because it takes the fear out of it, and you have a list of things, and you can start tackling that one by one,
Okay, well, let's find out from one business what they did. But for now, Clare O'Neill, Chair of CBA Cork City 2030 Committee. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks a million, Jonathan. Thank you.
So at that event, one of the businesses we heard from was a business that many people are familiar with, the Old Oak on Oliver Plunkett Street. And they have gone on an incredible journey, including the installation of 96 solar panels. Kevin Cottrell, with the Old Oak. How are you?
Very good, thanks, Jonathan.
I have to say, I was blown away by the amount of work that you have done. What was the genesis? Why did you start doing this work?
Basically, started look during COVID time. We were doing a bit of renovation work, and we said, "Look, it's probably the right time to do so to look at solar, look at the green economy." Basically, we're saying, "Look, we have a civic duty as a business to look after our environment and do things the right things to do." And when we're doing work, then we said we look at the solar and energy efficiency, and then we decided solar panels were the easy way to go at the moment. So we got a supplier for them and we did all the research and then we decided to put them in and work from there.
And what was the impact of those solar panels when they went up? I mean, did they help bring your electricity costs down? And let's face it, last year they were at their zenith.
Did it, yeah. Like we are roughly in the first year we saved about €13,000 in our electricity bill. So we're looking at about a 4-year payback on the whole of that. And they have a life of about 20 years, so a good saving it overall.
But you'd initially planned that you'd have to pay back over a longer period, so that they're kind of they're so good, the amount of time you'll have to pay them back is actually going to be reduced.
Yes, when we did our budgeting was that we were looking about 6.5, 7 years. But between the efficiency, the way they work, and the cost of electricity, it's down to this level now. The other thing we discovered with solar panels is this, is solar panels don't need the massive big sunlight people think. It actually works from light, so they're at their most efficient between 20 and 22 degrees. We're getting energy from them all year long. Every month we get something out of them, so
Yeah, it's pretty
it pays
incredible.
back.
And what I find fascinating about the story as well is you are an older building. I don't mean to offend you by saying that, Kevin, obviously, but the Old Oak is part of the older Cork infrastructure. And that puts a lot of people off as well, going, look, I drive an old building, there's nothing I can do with it. You've bucked that trend.
We did because see, Cork is a city of it's a low-lying city. We don't have any major big high-rise buildings. So everyone's got a roof, which is available, which is sun, there's no shadows on it, and then gets sun most of the time. So there's benefits there in any building, old, new or whatever size. there's always going to be sunlight in Cork City. So there's always going to be a benefit, and you can get the energy from it.
And the other thing, of course, you're doing is you're looking at what else you can do. There are other projects on the go that you are hoping will deliver not just for the business, but also give a return for the environment. What other things are you looking at?
Well, at the moment, it'll be installed in the next month or so. We have about 14, sorry, 18 units on the roof for all our refrigeration, cooling, heating, and everything else. We're now getting one big unit which will replace all of them, and it will reduce the usage from it will reduce the usage by about by 6 times. So we're using 6 times less energy than we did before. So we'll have a payback in that about 3.5 years.
So that's incredible, because every pub has those cooling units, whether they're for the bar or for the fridges or whatever the case may be. So just by consolidating them into a single one, you're going to save money. Yet there is an outlay, but you'll get that money back, and it'll sit there on top of your roof, doing its job for years after.
Yes, and the advantage of the new ones now at the moment is that it's one big pack. So one motor runs the whole lot of it. And if that goes down, the second motor kicks in automatically. So there's no danger of any loss. People obviously had the fear before of, oh, if one unit goes down, the whole lot goes down. This system is designed so it'll keep it going the whole time. And therefore then these things have a life of about 15, 20 years.
Ian, you're an
So
accountant by trade, so therefore your job is to make sure that the figures add up and that it makes sense. There will be a reluctance amongst your fraternity to embrace these ideas just in case you invest in the wrong thing, and people may have been stung by various green initiatives in the past. What's your advice to someone who might be on the fence?
someone who's done it. A lot of the supermarkets have done it at the moment as well for these things. But like we're saying with solar, with anything else, come talk to us. We'll gladly show you anything to do. But if you talk to other businesses, they'll tell you the people, they'll forget the salesmen, they'll tell you, look, brass facts and figures, this is what it costs, this is what we get back out of it. Everything we're doing, we're getting back in roughly about a 4.5 year payback, 4 to 4.5 year payback and everything. But go talk to people who've done it. Most of the supermarkets have done it. All the big companies have done it. And some pubs or things like us have done it. But come talk to businesses who've done it. They're only too glad to help or give advice.
Okay, well, Kevin, it's absolutely fabulous what you've done. I'll definitely enjoy my coffee a little bit more now next time I'm in with you guys, knowing that it may very well have been generated by green energy. Kevin Cottrell with the Old Oak on Oliver Plunkett Street. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Have a nice day.
And that's it for this episode of Red Business. Don't forget, Red Business in Focus, with thanks to Cork's local enterprise offices. It's been Local Enterprise Week, so there's loads of good content up there for you to find right now on redfm.ie. Sheafer Clear was the producer of this episode, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Get the Red Business podcast every week with Jonathan Healy at redfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts.